This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Commodities, oil, wheat, and corn, watching. Because of the disruption in the world supply for oil, possibly, for food, possibly. We have two wars, a third war threatened. And I go to Simon Constable, who writes for the Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other distinguished publications. He's in the south of France, watching the commodities from the European point of view, where this is the third winter of war. There have been sharp questions about supply for the first two winters. How about this year? Simon, a very good day to you. Oil, crude, corn, and wheat. Any change in the pricing? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John, and thanks for having me on the show. Yes, a lot of changes going on here. Brent crude, which is the European benchmark and in many ways the world benchmark for oil prices, is down at $76 a barrel. And if you go back to mid-September, it was $93. So it's come down quite dramatically. It's certainly come down since last week, late November. And that's a sign, I think, that the global economy is slowing down, and the European economy is included in that. Now, one product that you didn't mention was natural gas. And natural gas in Europe is now down considerably from this time last year. It's now 39 euros per megawatt hour, because that's what's used for electricity. So that's how it's measured. And a year ago, it was 3.5 times as much. So we'd had a big discount for this. So that's very good. I think that's a supply situation. A lot of new supply routes for natural gas have come in, a lot of that from Africa. Now, the other stuff that is really interesting is that wheat prices have jumped up back above $6. So it's now $6.28 a bushel, up from well below $5.50 just a few days ago, really. And that's because a lot of wheat has been sold to China. China's needing to stack up on wheat. Corn is languishing down at $4.71 a bushel. And you just have to put this in perspective, is that it was almost $7 a bushel not that long ago, early February. So a lot of changes happening, and some of them good, some of them not so good, depending on whether you're a farmer or an oil driller.
Simon, I'm reminded your natural gas price, the drop since last year. The Simon rule, the answer to high prices is high prices, because the supply always shows up when the high prices are there. The world found natural gas to rush to Europe, and now you've got too much of it. Good for you. We moved.
Yes, very good for our electricity bills, too.
Well, you're on the grid of the nuclear-powered French electricity grid. You haven't seen any sharp rise in your electricity, have you?
I haven't seen any sharp rise in the electricity yet, but we only found out, I think we talked about this, we only found out what we should be paying a few months ago, because we couldn't find out who the supplier was for a while. We did find the supplier, and we found out how much it was, and it was a fair chunk. So we've really only been seeing monthly bills for a little while at this stage. But that's the fun of living in a new country, new set of challenges.
Nuclear power plant are called the nuclear power plant fleet. That's the term of art for it. Back home, Simon, they're struggling all the time now. So whatever is going on in France, you have a better version of the immediate future than the Tories are offering back in Britain. Did you see that Rishi Sunak has taken back the net zero ambition and pulled back the mandate for only EV cars by such and such a date? He's walking away from Boris Johnson's promises.
And that isn't surprising. I think a lot of companies, and a lot of countries are going to find that the bill to move to net zero quickly, which is what Greta Thunberg wanted and a lot of other people wanted, is just not realistic from an economics point of view. You need a lot of money, and the cost of capital now is very high, and it needs to be deployed very quickly for anything to happen. And it will be enormous, enormous to move, basically move the entire system over in the time that was being discussed by Boris Johnson and others. It just was unfeasible. So I'm not surprised at this at all.
It is December 2023, 15 years ago, right now. Simon and I had not met yet. He was working at the Wall Street Journal. I was working at a radio station in New York, WABC, and my syndicate. And suddenly something happened that is still hard to believe, except for we've seen it repeat itself most recently. The man's name is Madoff, Bernie Madoff. It was a scandal at the time, but now it's a piece of Wall Street history. It turns on the definition of a Ponzi scheme. It's simple enough. You promise returns to your investors, and then when they demand their money or ask to be paid in profits, you promise returns to a new investor. So you take the new money and pay it off to the old investors as if you've made that money. Madoff not only didn't take that risk, he didn't do any investing whatsoever. And Simon, you're celebrating in the Wall Street Journal pages now, 15 years from Madoff. Have we learned anything, Simon?
Apparently not much. This is really quite staggering. So the size of this fraud was initially pegged at $50 billion, but when you include the fake profits, which he promised investors were actually happening, it was up to $65 billion. Now, that's the size of many countries, bigger than many, many countries. It really is quite amazing. There was something very insidious about this, though, and that was he used what was called affinity fraud, which meant he targeted an identifiable group, and in this case, it was affluent Jewish investors. And it's very awful to sort of try and say, "Oh, we've got a bond here. He's Jewish. They're Jewish. We'll come in, and you can trust us." When in fact, the exact opposite was the truth. Now, this happened during 2008, the crash of that period, which was the so-called Great Recession. And Pete Earle, who I talked to from the AIER, that's the American Institute for Economic Research, says it's critically important to look at the timing of the scandal. The charges came weeks after the bailout of many too big to fail Wall Street firms. And quote, everything was called into question because everything else was collapsing. And so that was when Bernie Madoff was called into question. And you'd think that this would never happen again, or nothing like it would happen again. Well, something, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. And that's, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but we then fast forward to this year. And just as I was writing this, we got Sam Bankman-Fried, founder of cryptocurrency exchange FTX, was recently found guilty of a multi-billion dollar fraud. And Earl says there are similarities between Madoff and Sam Bankman-Fried, and that is that they were both standard bearers for their chosen market. So for Madoff, it was the NASDAQ, which for a long time was small cap stocks. And in Bankman-Fried's case, it was cryptocurrency, and both were found guilty. And I imagine that Sam Bankman-Fried will have an enormously long prison sentence to serve, just as Bernie Madoff did. It just seems to be a recurrent thing, which is rather sad for Wall Street overall.
150 years in prison was the penalty for Bernie Madoff, the forfeiture of $17 billion, a lifetime ban from the securities industry. He was apprehended in December of 2008. He died in jail April 2021 at the age of 82. His wife, Ruth Madoff, is still with us, and her memories are still with us. One of his sons committed suicide. The other, I believe, is still with us, but I'm not absolutely sure. Ruth Madoff lives on the shore of Connecticut in some fashion. The The people in charge of rectifying what they could of the theft left Ruth Madoff $1 to $2 million. I don't know why. But this was a story that burned through everybody's understanding of Wall Street. And it took some time to restore credibility for everybody. Simon, as I recall, there was
yes,
no eagerness.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right.
And crypto is suddenly highly questioned around the world, even though the Bitcoin is recovering, the fake is recovering. And Simon, the rule is, again, we speak in cliches, but that's what Wall Street lives for. When the tide goes out, Simon, what happens?
You find out who's wearing no clothes. That's what you do. The tide's out. You're there. If you're naked, if you have no clothes, you are naked. And it's blatantly obvious to everyone. And that's what's happened to, is what happened to Bernie Madoff. And it seems that that's what's happened to Sam Bankman-Fried as well.
Simon Constable for the Wall Street Journal. He's in the south of France in paradise. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.